Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day we try to see what yesterday's reading means to us. And yesterday we studied the story of the Exodus, just the beginning of it, as Moses, the leader of the Israelites, was asking Pharaoh to let his people go, and Pharaoh kept saying no, and different plagues kept coming to try to convince Pharaoh to change his ways. And didn't happen. So yesterday I basically just read it to you in summary, because it is four chapters. What I did is I just told you the intro and then summarized the first nine of the 10 plagues, so you'd know what had happened. We didn't do a lot of analysis of it, what it all meant. We just kind of heard what the story was. So today we'll try to look for some trends and some repetition in those nine first plagues. Well, throughout the story of the plagues, there's repeated mention of the state of Pharaoh's heart. The language changes up sometimes, whether he's dull-hearted or whether God made his heart hard. But either way, the message we see here is that Pharaoh is really not willing to let his valued slaves go free. He's a smart man. He knows that they're probably not just going to the desert to worship for a while and come back to be slaves again. He knows they are probably making a run for it, and he's not willing to let them go quietly. Now, as much as God tries to convince Pharaoh to change his ways through these plagues, Pharaoh is hard-hearted. He's not going to change his mind easily, and that's part of why there's so much repetition and why there are so many plagues in this story. Now, you might be wondering about the language of God having hardened Pharaoh's heart. I think this is the author's way of saying that, you know what, God is behind everything. God has a plan here, and that's what we're seeing play out. So there's some plan here, even if we don't understand it, and that God is behind all this. Maybe God knows something we don't hear. I can't quite explain exactly why there is so much flip-flopping, where Pharaoh seems to change his mind and then suddenly he's hard-hearted again. But that's how the story goes. These nine plagues, clearly there's a lot of repetition and a lot of building up required here. Now, through the first six plagues, things are pretty consistent. Whether it's bugs or frogs or a river of blood, there's sort of a routine way of telling about these plagues in the Bible, where Moses and Aaron are told to say something to Pharaoh. Pharaoh doesn't listen. They're told to do something. They do it. The plague happens. Sometimes Pharaoh's officials, his learned men, try to reverse it or copy it. Sometimes they're successful, sometimes they aren't. And then Pharaoh finally relents, asks for help, changes his mind, and everything goes back to the way it was. That's kind of the routine for the first six. And then things start to change up a little bit. One of the first transitions is by plague three, the learned men can no longer reverse or copy the same things that Moses and Aaron are doing. This is where Pharaoh and his officials start to realize maybe there really is a God at work here. Maybe this isn't just Moses and Aaron doing some amazing tricks. Maybe they are more than magicians. Maybe they really do speak for a powerful God. At plague seven, the hail, there's a bit of a transition as well, because this is where, first of all, they're given an opportunity to protect themselves. God gives specific instructions on how to protect themselves and their livestock against the hailstones. And some people probably listened, some people probably didn't, doubting that anything was going to happen. But when the hail came, it was the first plague to kill people in these nine plagues. So it was the first one to actually kill people. So this was starting to get a bit more serious by that time, by the time the hail hit. And that's maybe why Pharaoh's response changes a little bit. He begins to admit some personal guilt for this. He admits that he is doing something wrong to bring all these plagues on his people. Finally, plague nine is special. It's about the darkness. And that's where Moses and Aaron and the God behind them, Yahweh, really take on the most powerful God in Egypt, the sun god, Amun-Ra. This was a really important god to the Egyptians. And in this one, Yahweh shows that he has power even over their most important god, because he just shuts off the sun for a while and puts them in a time of darkness. This is also a break from the routine, because I told you there was a routine to many of the first plagues, but in this one, negotiations end early. Pharaoh's anger ends the negotiation before he ever relents. So it just gets cut off early. And in this one, he really questions Israel's intentions. He's willing to let maybe the men go and worship God in the desert, but he's not willing to let the whole people go. He's not willing to let their livestock go, which for Israelites was extremely important. They needed to make animal sacrifices. So Pharaoh's still not getting it. He still doesn't quite understand what the Israelites are trying to do, but he's also a smart guy. He knows they're probably going to make a run for it. They're not just looking to worship God in the desert. They're gonna never come back to Egypt to be slaves again. And so he is protecting his nation here and one of his most valued assets, his slaves. So there's a bit more of an analysis about these plagues. Here's a question for you to think about. What do you think God is up to? What's he trying to do here? What does he want people to learn through these plagues? What does he want different groups of people to learn, like Pharaoh, like Egypt, like Israel? So have a great time thinking about that question, maybe discussing it with some friends or a group. I'll see you tomorrow as we try to apply and live this out in our lives. Bye for now.